Welcome to the Church Safety and Security Broadcast with the Church Safety Guys. Brought to you by TwoWayRadioCenter.com, a Motorola value-added reseller. The Church Safety Guys is a nonprofit organization dedicated to equipping the vigilant, those men and women who stand watch, keeping our houses of worship and places of faith safe. We believe church safety and security must be a ministry first, and have engaged servant leaders who continually strive for excellence and teams of motivated volunteers that are always training. Join us for the next hour as the Church Safety Guys unpack safety, security, leadership, and ministry operations with your hosts, Dr. James McGarvey and Mike Scully. This broadcast is also available on YouTube, your favorite podcast platforms, ChurchSafetyGuys.com, and on the original Church Security app. Download it today. Feel free to like, subscribe, and share with your ministry.
Well, hello. Welcome to the Church Safety and Security Broadcast with the Church Safety Guys. I am James, and on this fine broadcast, once again, joined by my co-host Mike and my brother from another mother, Jared.
Good to be back.
How are you guys?
I shouldn't have to introduce Jared anymore, but I haven't figured out how to.
You know, that happens to me a lot in life in a lot of different settings, so you're not alone, James. How do we introduce this guy? All right.
Frequent
and that's
guest.
And that's my family that doesn't know how to introduce me, so, you know, you're in good company.
I can't help you there.
Regular guest, there. Special guest, something like that. I don't know.
Oh, he's special.
I try and live up to my monikers.
Well, we're all obviously still here, contrary to what the interwebs said. We weren't all raptured on Monday, so I guess that's both bad and good.
From the eclipse.
The eclipse, yeah.
Yeah, I stared at the sun looking for Jesus coming back, but all I got was some burnt retinas, so.
I think it was the most Google thing Tuesday was, why do my eyes hurt after the eclipse?
Not surprised. It didn't come with a warning label.
No, it didn't. It was kind of funny because I was actually at my office all day. And what was interesting was that my office has a big, big bay window where I can watch the airport from where I am. And I started seeing it get, I didn't go outside or anything. I was sitting in there working, but I could see it, you know, get dark and gloomy and kind of like dusk. And then all of a sudden it was like black and and all the parking lot lights start popping on. And I'm like, I guess we're in the middle of the eclipse. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, it starts getting light again. And I'm like, okay. It's 3:30, time to go home.
Yep. Well, we got to, my family got to watch totality. We could have watched it literally right out our front door. Our house happened to be in the path of totality, but we decided to make it more of a kind of occasion with the kids. I mean, we'll only have one while they're little. And so we decided to turn it into a fun day and pack a picnic lunch and bring the glasses and the camp chairs and bring over the tent and everything else as well and set it up there. That was weird. You were just eclipsed from our broadcast.
Yeah, well, it happens. I thought you guys did a great job of it, honestly. I thought it was really cool that you had like matching shirts and everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's one of those rare opportunities to really teach the kids too. I mean, we homeschool two out of our three, and so making it a teachable moment, it was important, and making it a family memory was also kind of that once in a kid's generation. So I never got to see totality before until then, and I'm a grown adult. So I mean, it was pretty impressive. I mean, I definitely now understand why people say that 99% isn't good enough, because it isn't. I've seen it in the 90s, and now at 100%, and we lost much of it with cloud cover, but to have a minute even was pretty cool. So
I had 98.6%, and I'm sorry, I was pretty happy with that.
Okay. 100 is that different. Like it's one of those weird things that the difference between it is still significant, that those small little percent or tenth of a percent matter.
I was just happy. They said we had an extra 600,000 people visiting the state of Ohio, and the National Guard was getting ready to mobilize, and they were telling people buy groceries and buy, yep, you know, gas and 3 days worth of groceries and that sort of thing. And I was just thankful that nothing crazy happened from where we were. But one of the guys that I work with actually lives up near Cleveland, and he has farm property, and he did comment and say that people were trying to camp out and come onto his property and set up tents and stuff. And he didn't necessarily care about the property piece of it as much as he's got cattle and animals, and they were like trying to cut his fence and just do destructive damage. So I think he ended up chasing off a couple people, but that weren't being really gracious. So, but
yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of churches down here that were in the path of totality. Some turned it into an event, and they used it as a fundraiser to fund missions or other sorts of things. Others gated their parking lots, and they didn't want people pulling over and put it in, which, I mean, I get it. If you don't have the staff, you don't have the ability to kind of keep the property safe or things like that, there's a fine line there. But really an opportunity to be hospitable. I mean, there are definitely churches doing outreach and free water and all sorts of different things during that. And I mean, frankly, it's a very, obviously the audience for that group, the folks we spoke to, the vast majority that we connected with were not necessarily believers, and they're there for a very science driven event. And so yeah, I found the opportunity that for churches to reach those folks as a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Well, and we did at work, we did have a couple of discussions about that, you know, for sure with different folks. And I do think that it was a good opportunity to have that conversation as to, you know, how really what scripture tells us, that the heavens declare the glory of God. I mean, it is, yep, a pretty awesome thing, but in truth, the science aspect of it, I've never seen science, true science, not back up, you know, the biblical account. So from that aspect of it, you know, you always have, when you look at nature, you have that opportunity to inquire. And I think it's always good if someone has the opportunity to explain to maybe someone that doesn't know, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it definitely was one of those things that, unique to see, check the box, won't be another one to 20 years or something like that. That'll be in the United States or in the bulk of the United States. I think there's one maybe sooner that crosses only into Montana a little bit, but not quite sure. Don't really pay that much attention to it. But really, I mean, it comes back to John 1:5, is the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And I think that was really what stood out to me, is in totality, where it is darkness, is the contrast, the light of the world. And it was really just a surreal moment in that sense, of God's beauty and his majesty of the creation, And it just one more thing. I mean, it's like standing over the edge of the Grand Canyon. There's just grand majesty when you get to witness those things that just make you feel so small as part of God's big picture.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, if you haven't joined us in a while or you're new to the show, welcome. Thanks for hanging out with us. As always, you can visit our website, which is churchsafetyguys.com, and you're welcome to reach out to us if there's something that we can help you with your church. We're happy to do that. And if there is some resource that we can help provide for you and your ministry, we're happy to do that as well. There's quite a bit of resources available on our website. And then we also have the Church Security app that's free to download, free to register. And there's a good deal of content available as a template or as a help on that app as well. And that's available on the Google and iOS platforms. While I'm thinking about it, before I forget, we do still have tickets available for the Church Security Essentials 2024 conference. That's going to be in a week and a half, 2 weeks, down in Austin, Texas at Grace Covenant Church. And there's definitely, we've actually got a crowd gathering down there, but I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a two-day thing with a two-day conference with a third day add-on for firearm training if you're interested. And all of that information can be found on our website, which is churchsafetyconference.com. And if you go to that website, you'll get or actually see a list of the speakers there and then information about the church and the area and everything else. But yeah, I'm looking forward to
come fast
in Texas, like, again.
I don't know how, like, all of a sudden April has disappeared.
I felt like April's going
where
a
to
little
go
bit faster.
Well, and all the details of dotting the I's and crossing the T and preparing for a conference, and anybody who's done one of those things knows that it's kind of the 11th hour game time, all the preparation and so forth. So I feel it. Like, I feel it more than others. My backyard, I think the fact that we've gone to 2 days and so many folks are flying in, it just, there's a lot to this. Yeah, really excited that we get to do this again.
It's good. Next week, or that week, which, yeah, it is actually next week. That'll be a crazy busy week for me. I've got, I believe Tuesday, I am speaking at the Ohio Crime Prevention Annual Conference, which is another 3 or 4 day event. But I'm actually speaking to law enforcement in Ohio about connecting with houses of worship and just different things that churches and law enforcement can do to strengthen communities and build into communities better. And so I'll be doing that with John DePietro. He's been on the broadcast before and hangs out with us every once in a while. But that's Tuesday. And then Wednesday morning early, I jump on a plane and fly down to catch up with Mike and his family. And it'll be a fun time. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. So, but anyhow, jumping into the topic for this broadcast, I want to talk about facility safety and kind of through the lens of having a ministry first perspective. Oftentimes we will do assessments, or we have the opportunity to do assessments, and typically we try and use the standardization of CEPTED, which is crime prevention through environmental design. And we kind of use that as a basis. But then for us, when we do an assessment, we also look at the inside core, where SEPTED a lot of times really kind of focuses on the outside of the building and operations, we kind of go a step further and have kind of designed our own metrics to look at the culture of the organization and how the team functions and that sort of thing. But on this particular broadcast, one of the questions that we've had in the past recently has been, you know, what are some thoughts and ideas or suggestions on making our church facilities or house of worship facilities safe and appear safe, but at the same time also being structured with safety and security and being welcoming, but at the same time, again, also making sure that things stay safe and that nothing crazy happens as much as possible. So,
yeah, I mean, we always tend to talk more about the threats of violence and things like that, or people driven things, and not just necessarily weather. So, I mean, facility, I feel like as we go into this topic, really is more about the things that happen to your building, to your lot, to your property. So whether it's theft or vandalism or the potential of a disaster, weather, fire, arson, earthquake, those sorts of things, tornado. I feel like those are the things that we don't always talk about as much. Certainly not on the episodes that we've held. And then of course, something that may not be as facility or direct threat related would be embezzlement, the internal threat of theft from church property. So that's something that's not always talked about as well, but sometimes even your facility can create a lack of transparency that creates an opportunity for threats and other sorts of things like internal theft, like abuse, like other things. So even the design of your building and your doors and your offices and the spaces that people are cared for in matter.
Absolutely. And, you know, to kind of step back and look at that, expound a little bit on what you said, that it matters. You know, a lot of times we'll look at the outside outside of the building, the parking lot, and we focus on that sort of thing. But the maintenance and upkeep is probably one of the most important aspects of that, because there's something called the broken window syndrome. Yep. And essentially what that is, if you've never heard of that before, I know these guys have, but essentially what that is it's the value that you're presenting as a building and as a church campus. What is that saying to the neighborhood? What is that saying to the public? So when you walk up to the building, you know, what are things that strike your eye as maybe not cared for? And if your church is in a neighborhood or is in an area where maybe they had, you know, were an up and coming neighborhood back in the 90s and they aren't now, you know, that's something that really should be paid attention to, because things like signs falling apart, fences not painted, windows broken, you know, graffiti on the buildings, that sort of thing, really kind of just gives the perception that there's a lack of care for that building. And with that lack of care is the lack of safety and security, because, you know, we've seen statistically that criminals look at easy targets, and if they see a building that's falling apart or not maintained, they could easily look at that and say, okay, this is going to be an easy thing for me to get into. And honestly, most burglaries where folks know about churches, they know that there's going to be tech inside. They know that there's going to be TVs and computers and sound equipment. And at the very least, you know, oftentimes air conditioning units or HVAC systems where they can pull the copper out or do damage and not really think twice about it.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. I mean, it's you know, in law enforcement, profiling kind of became a nasty buzzword. And there are certain things that obviously are absolutely unethical to profile for, but there are a lot of things that is just good cop work in developing profiles. And the inverse is also true, that those who seek to do harm are profiling potential victims. And so, you know, sure. You mentioned property crimes and theft and embezzlement. You know, child predators are going to do the same thing. If they see a church that does not appear to have all their stuff together, they are much more likely to go fishing there in the hopes that they also don't have their stuff together when it comes to protecting the children. So it is really a multifaceted approach, you know, the holistic approach to being effective in your ministry, being effective in your community. And a lot of times we forget, and I'll see it when I, you know, teach it at different conferences and work with different churches and teach different groups. Everybody wants to focus on, well, are we going to do active shooter training 8 times a year? And really, as you're looking at your team, you're working with your team, developing that discerning eye to see potential issues before they happen. You know, I forget what the exact saying is, but it's something along the lines of an ounce of prevention. So,
absolutely. And this is where it crosses into a duty and a responsibility. So developing that eye, I think, Jared, is great. But we cross into really facility stewardship, is that we're tasked in ministry to be good stewards. And in a facility perspective, that is not allowing those things that James uncovered before, really supervising, taking care of the building that's been entrusted to us to serve as our ministry location. So whether that's a temporary building that we're in or a temporary for the day, if you're a portable church, like I've been through several, we really have to kind of take on that responsibility to say, this is not just a maintenance person's job. It's not just a facility person's job. It's everyone's job. Now, granted, they may not be the one like pulling out the weed whacker or painting a fence, but there at least should be somebody to speak up and see something, say something. The see something is not just a bad actor. The see something is, hey, something's out of whack. This flooring is loose. This light is no longer working. This fence has exposed piece, or there's exposed wiring poking out of this wire, this wall here. Or, hey, you know what? I noticed the worship team didn't roll up their cable, and it's a trip hazard in that back hallway. Those sorts of things, taking notice.
Well, and oftentimes too, what I've seen, if someone, you know, most churches don't have a lot of volunteers. Most churches listening don't have a lot of different ministries and a lot of different different aspects of serving and volunteerism. And from my experience with the safety team, oftentimes you're the ones that are running around while the service is happening anyway. And so oftentimes when something happens, it's easy to grab you or grab a safety team member and be like, hey, I noticed this was, you know, and I joke around about this all the time, but I've been pulled in to fix a restroom toilet that's overflowing in the middle of a service. And, you know, I'll jump in and try and do that as much as I'll respond to some incident. But we had, we actually had an incident not too long ago where we responded to an individual that had fallen. And when we got there, we noticed that the reason they had fallen was because water had come in the foyer because we had a lot of rain. It had been raining like crazy, but the water had gone past the rug that we had there to absorb it. And the person slipped and fell because of the water on the floor. And so at that point, we're looking at, obviously, we're trying to treat them, because when we were called, it was, hey, someone's fallen. Can you come help them and do an assessment and see if we need an ambulance or what we need to do? And so we responded medically. But then when we got there, we noticed, okay, wait a second. you know, this is a problem. Water's coming into the building and one person slipped and fell, but how can we fix this right now so that this doesn't happen again for the next set, the next service or the next set of people that are coming in? And so, you know, several of us were treating the individual that fell while, you know, I directed two other individuals that were there to work on, you know, fixing the problem and putting out a wet floor sign and just doing different things to assist with that until our facility person could kind of take a look at it and see, you know, what was going on and what was happening.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as you look again from different angles, at times when teams struggle with this ministry first mentality, they can be seen as the negative Nellies, the Eeyores, the, you know, the gruff guy with an earpiece in a corner. And man, if you really want to shift your team towards a ministry mindset and really have an impact on your team's reputation, when people see the gruff security guy willing to walk over and pick up that napkin off the floor or help clean up spilled coffee, you're just exhibiting the servant leadership that Christ modeled for us. And you don't know what impact that's going to have, both on the reputation of your team and how people view your church. So,
absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, when you're talking maintenance, you're really digging deeper into, you're going to want to be checking things like your fire extinguishers. Are they accessible or hidden? Are they in working order? When's the last time they were inspected, and make sure that they've done so? Your AEDs, we've seen that. We've had a couple of facilities that we've walked and done a assessment at that we've seen out of date AEDs and dried up supplies and things like that. So that's definitely been one of those areas. Smoke detectors. We, of course, many times look at those around daylight savings, but obviously checking those, make sure they're properly functioning, that you have batteries on hand. That's even an important part of stewardship is, yes, nowadays Amazon's 2 days. It's not like you needed back stock as much as in before, but it's good to have some on hand to take care of those. But you're also looking for things like your ventilation. Is a room getting extra stuffy, or is there something that's not working right with your HVAC? We had a fire in our HVAC unit in our church a couple of weeks ago, and it basically downloaded a whole lot of mechanical smoke into the building, which then of course got into the cushy chairs and created all sorts of additional smells in the building. So that sort of thing. I mean, it wasn't our owned building. We are renting a facility, but it did create a early morning phone call from the fire department and trying to see. Of course, you hear fire department, you're immediately thinking, all right, disastrous fire or something's actually burning. Well, I mean, it was mostly mechanical, but enough where it needed a whole deep clean inside and things like that. So ventilation's important. And then one other thing I had under maintenance is really, if you have a maintenance guy, make sure they're locking their chemicals and tools and other sorts of things, not only from a theft perspective, but kids find an open door and they find ways to do things in closets that we wouldn't want them doing. So it's good to make sure those doors are secure.
Well, and to that point, going back just a second to the broken windows syndrome and talking about that, when you have an individual or when you have a family that's checking out your church, we've already, I think it was on past broadcast, but we already said at one point that, I believe it was a survey done by the Barna Group that actually said the top three or four or fourth item that people look at when they go to new churches to check out a church, trying to decide if they're going to attend there, is the safety and security aspect of that church. Like from start to finish, what does that look like for kids checking in? Are there security cameras around? And, you know, when parents or when individuals come in, whether they're really you need to be showing the same courtesy to the church members as well as the visitors, right? So if you happen to walk the building, I mean, I usually encourage people walk the building at least once before the service starts, walk the building on the outside, on the inside. If you see something like that, that causes concern where there's something on the ground, pick it up, you know, make a note of something. Maybe this computer check-in station is worn out and it's fallen apart and we have to constantly reset it and you know, fix it. Maybe a light's hanging off the wall, anything inside or outside. But more specifically inside, when you have folks coming in, it really goes beyond stewardship. What it goes to is setting a good perception that for the members that the church and the building is cared for, and that's important because you want folks to realize and respect the property to be a you know, example in the community. But people won't come there. Like if I'm visiting a church, and I'll just be honest, I walk in and I see stuff worn out, or I go to check my kids in and the systems aren't working to check my kids in, then I'm probably not going to have a real high opinion of that church, because there are things that, even if the church isn't a well-off, you know, well-funded large church, there's still simple things that we can do to be effective and good stewards over what we have. So
yeah, a couple of stories I think on that point there, James, is first, I think when you talk about from an experience perspective, I mean, it's kind of crass to think about it from that perspective, but churches are competing for attention, and yeah, everybody's at the end of the day, some see it as entertainment value, and unfortunately some churches give it to them and turn it into full entertainment value, and it's not really that biblical. But then you really have to look at it from a perspective of providing the right level of information to them, so that they feel like they're having a good experience. It's important to do that off the bat. And then I think going beyond that is that you actually talked about picking up something from the ground or doing the facility walk. As I've done that, I've walked around and seen a door that was kind of pried open slightly, or I've seen needles on the ground. Even we at a church that I was working had more of a city type location, and saw that there as well. So you never know what you're going to come across, but you don't want a kid to come pick that needle up. Sure. You don't want any other things to happen. So it's really those walking that ground is important, and creating that experience is super important. I mean, you travel to like the Orlando area, for example, you got a whole bunch of churches in that area that they're competing with Disney. Okay. Is what those churches actually perceive them. So they're creating entertainment value in the facility, where it's good painting. They have a lot of graphics and a lot of different things where it's loud and it's put out there. They're looking at it to create an experience around church, not so that they can get fed when they walk through those doors, because they want to invite them and make them feel comfortable. So that's important.
And you definitely, just to throw this out there too, there's definitely a line with safety and security and making people feel comfortable. We've had folks visit our church before where the parents wanted to come sit in with, you know, in the classroom with the kids, and we had to say no, and they were pretty upset about it. They ended up not checking their kid in or child in and taking their child to the main sanctuary. And, you know, I apologized. One of the pastors apologized and said, you know, we're sorry, but this is how we do things here. We take security and safety very seriously with kids, and we don't let adults, you know, with that note, you know, we don't let adults into our kids' area that haven't been background checked or screened to say, okay, this is, that's part of our processes. And that's part of the safety and the perception about, you know, the fact that, that people don't know. You know, oftentimes we'll relate it and we'll connect it back to, we follow the same policies and procedures that a school does for accessing kids. What's interesting to me though, with all of that, is that even something as simple as policies and procedures, like we talk to churches all the time that just don't have any, and they're trying to start a team and they're trying to move forward with that. But the truth of that is that the policies and procedures are the foundation for that. And that builds the culture of taking care of things. So if your church trying to set up a team and you don't have policies and procedures, or, and I'll just foot stomp this for a second, and you're trying to set up a team and you're wondering, well, how can we make the culture better so that we're instilling this sense of ownership and pride and, you know, follow through with the property and everything that's going on, have a policy and procedure. Like, stop what you're doing and set up a policy and procedure, because that's where everything builds off of. And, you know, like Jared mentioned earlier, emphasizing the importance to everyone that everyone has that responsibility to take care of the building and really to value and treat things well builds into the perception. If you have a gruff individual that's serving on a safety team, I would question, you know, the culture of that team and that ministry. And again, everything builds off of what's going on in the church. And we can, when we do an assessment of a church, oftentimes we will do what they call in SEPTED a stakeholder interview, but oftentimes we will talk to the ministry folks and the volunteers and just say, hey, what you tell us stays with us, but we'd like to know what your perception of this team and the ministry is in this church, because your perception and how you follow through on things can make or break being successful in the ministry of the church and having a ministry first focus.
Yeah, it's, you know, that stakeholder interview, even if you don't have somebody outside come in and do an assessment, as simple as an anonymous survey where you can capture some candid feedback about the perspective of your team can be really valuable. It can be really eye-opening. If you don't know what you don't know, and one of those things is that for whatever reason, right, wrong, or indifferent, the rest of the church and volunteers and staff doesn't find your team approachable, what are they going to see that they decide that's not worth going and saying something? And so you could be losing valuable intelligence on the safety and security side of things, just by not knowing what you don't know. And so somehow getting that information, gathering that data, will give you a great place to jump off from in focusing your next bit of training and development.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of those areas where you put together a survey that you run digitally, whether that's like a Google form or Microsoft Forms or things like that. You can create it and set it up where it is anonymous and survey your, not just your immediate team, but your entire volunteer base. It's good to always take that. We actually call it our pulse. We're taking the pulse of our volunteer group and getting a feel for what their perspective is. And it has a whole range of questions, not just security focused, but we want to make sure that they're feeling like they are being sewn into, that they're being engaged and invested in from their leaders, that the facility itself is providing a safe environment, that they're getting what they expected out of volunteering. We don't want them to be burned out or feeling like they're stuck or in a position that they don't feel is the best spot serving for themselves just because they feel like they can't leave either. So sometimes a survey can provide an opportunity for that candid feedback that you might not get otherwise.
For sure. And that's, I mean, that kind of goes and plays hand in hand with the idea of retaining folks, training folks, and going around the ministry life cycle circle, just from the standpoint of, you know, again, building in that culture. If things go wrong, things can go wrong, and things can happen that don't end up, incidents happen that don't end up playing out the way that you want them to. That's understandable. Because there's always a variable with everything, and that variable is people, right? So you can't always right. control how somebody responds or reacts, but in the training and the culture piece of it, you can certainly do your due diligence to make sure that from a culture standpoint, that the right things are being focused on. Because what happens is when you have that foundational culture, and you have the understanding and the that value presented through the culture to the individuals, through the team or to the team members, that pays off in volumes and spades, because what it does is it continues to build that culture. And when something does happen, then you can kind of look at it and say, okay, if we're responding to everything, and we're trying to do it with ministry first or through the mission of the church and be focused on that, then how best can we do that? How did we do it in this situation? You know, is this an opportunity? Is this a strength? And, you know, that gives you the refinement to be able to go back and say, okay, you know, let's be honest, we could have done this a little bit better, or, you know what, we did this really well. Like, everybody did what they were supposed to. Let's jump in and let's celebrate this as a win, which is honestly is just as important. Give individuals the opportunity to review, you know, what's happened, the good and the bad, and build that into a training exercise, because oftentimes people learn more from having the opportunity afterwards to speak up on their own actions. And again, that just builds into their motivation to know that they did a good job, and that you're happy and content with how they're serving.
Yep. Shameless plug time, because you did mention ministry life cycle. And honestly, we haven't talked about it in some time where we actually name dropped it. So James mentioned a concept called the ministry life cycle. It is a concept that we brought to you from Church Safety Guys. There is a book that James and I wrote called Inspire, Influence, Impact. That is the summary book, starts to unpack the entire ministry life cycle as to what that is. There's multiple steps in it. And so then that breaks down into a series. So we've started writing a series of books that breaks down each step of the life cycle. And those are all available on Amazon.com. So again, Inspire, Influence, Impact is the first one. And then each of those steps you'll see as a standalone book. I think we're number four. I have to think we have five and six still to go. Five now. Yes.
Yeah. We're working on five.
Yes.
And that's, I was actually dusting off my notes for that yesterday. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to jump back in and start typing on this. And then I was like, oh wait, we've got a conference.
We've got a conference coming up. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not getting to that until after the conference, but that'll be the next one. Actually, they're above my shoulder here. Can't quite see all of them, but we really break down each of those. So yeah, we have the last one is train for step four, and working on book five, which is retain. So that'll be probably out before the end of the year, I would guess, if we don't all wash away or something.
Well,
we survive our conference.
You know, the aspect of it, it goes to, again, it builds in into the culture. And, you know, what's interesting and what gets overlooked a lot is the fact that culture is important. How the team leadership handles various aspects of the safety team's mission and ministry, that speaks volumes to how your team is going to respond and react. So if I'm leading a team and I'm flippant about, okay, I don't really need to pick up this, you know, again, talking about building facilities and that sort of thing. I don't really need to do anything. I don't need to pick up trash. I don't need to demonstrate care for this building. That's going to trickle down from leadership. That's going to trickle down to the folks that I'm serving with. So then all of a sudden I'm setting a precedent for those folks that it really doesn't matter. Like the building isn't really our responsibility. We just respond to the bad incidents that happen, but that's not true. The building is all of our responsibility, and the building is part of creating the perception of safety, and that feeling, perception of safety and safeness, to know that, you know, it may seem inconsequential, but the truth is, you know, if I demonstrate an attitude of love and care and good stewardship for the building, that love and care and graciousness is going to transcend to the people that I'm serving with. Like, they're going to see that, and they're going to want to do that and want to demonstrate that, because they understand and they know that that's my expectation. And I'll give you a perfect example. So I, beginning of this year, you guys know, our listeners probably don't, I changed positions at my work. And one of my jobs was to shift gears and to actually, be on part of a team, resurrect a team to actually, support the military, support the armed forces. But what we do is we're supporting the people that support that. So we're trying to resurrect an after COVID culture of care for our customer, right? That's the easiest way of saying it. So what was interesting was I noticed that several of the people, I was placed on a team, several of the people really were burnt out. They were just exhausted. They were like, I've been doing this for so long that I just don't have the energy. I don't have that spark to see why this is effective and why this is good. So one of the things I started doing was coming to the office, I started wearing a tie and a sports coat and dressing up. I felt like that was something good to do. I didn't have to. My boss wasn't standing there saying, hey, you should dress up. You know, but that role in that position, oftentimes I get pulled into meetings or conference calls with individuals that are, you know, significantly better paid or higher paid than I am, which is fine. But in that position, I have, you know, two and three star generals in the military asking me for my opinion. So out of respect, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to wear a tie when I'm in the office in a sports coat. The impact after a week of being on that team, the impact of, and I'm not a supervisor. I don't lead the team. Sometimes when my boss is out of town, you know, I'll be over that team. But the impact of doing that was unbelievable. And the reason I say that is because within a week of me coming in and doing that on a daily basis when I didn't have to, everybody else on that team was all of a sudden dressing up, wearing ties. No one said anything about anything. It was just me putting forth that effort to say, okay, when I'm on this team, this is how I'm going to react because I see this as important. And this is how I want my team to respect and respond. But what's interesting is not only does that team now, every individual comes in with a jacket and a tie on when they had been wearing like jeans with holes in them. Okay. Which they're jeans with holes. Also, I'll preface this, jeans with holes aren't bad, but when you're in an office with military folks, it's a little bit different. And you veterans out there listening, you know what I'm talking about. But what was amazing to me was now, even 6 months in, every single person on my team respects me and comes to me. So if our team leader isn't available, I'm the individual that they come to and they'll say, hey, you know, I know you're not the boss, but, you know, I just want to get your opinion on this. Should we do this way? You talk to the bosses all the time. And So let's take a second and shift that over to a church. Okay. You have the opportunity, you have the ability as a leader in your church, whether you're in a management role or not, you have the opportunity to step in and build that culture and do things that maybe are getting overlooked. And one of those things could be how the building is taken care of. And so when you go through that and you set that example, that solid example of this is important to me, that will, I'm telling you right now, we've seen it in churches, we've seen it in cultures, that trickles down and that has that effect where the individuals that you're serving with all of a sudden realize that if it's important to you, it should be important to them. And that re-energizes them to a successful ministry. So Mike, you were going to jump in and say something.
Yeah, I there's so much there. I mean, we can very easily, and we have spent an entire episode really on just that last bit. So, and then some. I mean, there's so much there about culture that really matters in any ministry, not just security, and not just facility. But given that the facility topic's there and we're running short on time, wanted to kind of fly through a few other kind of important areas. Of course, reviewing your lighting and AV, that's a fire hazard. You might want to check that, the wiring in working order, making sure your staff knows what to look for and they are set up on safety procedures. Does your worship team know where the closest fire extinguisher is if a light happens to catch fire, if a cord sparks and catches the curtain that's draping the side? Do they know where to go for that? Evacuation lighting, making sure your signs and the routes are very clear and prominent. I've seen churches on our walks that you had bulbs out in the exit signs, and so they weren't lit up at all. So making sure that that's set in working order. And then one of my biggest pet peeves or things that I really love to see is evacuation maps in each and every room. And so something that's going to be very clearly oriented to where you are in the building, primary, secondary, sometimes even tertiary routes for how to get out of the building that are nice and clear. Not something that's been a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy that's like 17 years old and you can't even read it anymore, but actually crisply done in color and so forth. It's a great, you can laminate it, put it right on the wall. And then when a volunteer who maybe isn't in that room very often needs to all of a sudden evacuate a classroom of kids, he or she can grab the map off the wall quickly, hopefully grab a evac bag or other things that you've prepared for them and use it to exit the kids, evacuate the kids out of the rooms, out of the building. So it's important. Yeah. Really, really do that. And to that matter, make sure you're practicing. I mean, honestly, I'm even guilty of it. I can't remember the last time our church has held a fire drill of sorts to even practice where they're going to do. Now, granted, we're in a brand new building to us, so I'll give it a little grace there that we haven't adjusted in this new building fully yet. But even in the old one, I mean, it's possible they could have run one, and I don't recall. But very often churches don't run these. And yet, think of it, every time you get on a plane, what do? They walk through where the exits are. They walk through how to buckle your seatbelt, of all things. Like, we don't know how to buckle our seatbelt after this many years. They talk about that because consistency is important. So drilling it in practice is important. That's why they do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Jared, did you want to add anything in wrapping up?
Yeah, I think something you just said, Mike, kind of helped me land the plane a little bit. And that is, you know, as we look to do ministry first, and as we look to ultimately serve God through serving others, it's really about a commitment to excellence in whatever you do. Whatever you do it as unto the Lord. And that's what we're doing. And I think we would be foolish to think, well, I'm going to choose to be excellent here, but I'm going to choose to not give a flying rip there. Really, it goes to your character, and when something does happen, whether it's a man-made disaster or a natural disaster or just an unfortunate series of events, that's when your character is going to come out the most. And so I think this is a good topic to, again, look at a holistic approach to the ministry first aspect of loving God and loving others.
Absolutely.
Well said.
It was well said. And I think we could probably spend another episode talking about that. But you're absolutely right. Serving with excellence, one of the things I hate the most is, well, I say that. I'll preface it with, not other than somebody asking me if they can carry a firearm with their safety team or joining the safety team. But one of the things I hate the most is when folks say, well, that's not my job. And you both know what I'm talking about in serving. And I'm sure with the length of time that all three of us combined together have served in church ministry, all of us have heard that at least once, probably more than once. But the truth of that is, where is that coming from? You know, there's a lot of things that safety and security team folks pick up the slack in, because like I said, they're usually out when the service is actually happening. So oftentimes that can be a distraction. And we've said that before, like there are ways to, if you're standing post, there are ways to nicely say, I'm sorry, I have to stay here, versus going and doing everything all the time when someone else can. But the truth is, where does that fall with your spirit? Is your spirit a gracious, willing spirit to serve? And are you doing that with that excellence? Because if you have a positive and Christ-focused attitude and kingdom-focused attitude, then you know what? Even the little things like that are sometimes annoying or frustrating at times, you realize that doing that and doing it well still sets a good precedent and still sets a good example for those around you. And that's what I want to do. I don't want to serve in a way that makes people question, you know, my motives, right? I want to serve and I want people to know that I'm serving because I'm doing it for the Lord. So at the end of the day, you know, how I handle that, and it's accountability. How I handle that and how I'm responding to that is important.
Absolutely. And there's so much more here. I mean, I realize we didn't even get into, and we're out of time, thinking through the lens of employees. I mean, there's the whole side of things where you go down the path of OSHA and other sorts of, now, ministry staff and direct folks that are actually more on the religious side are not necessarily subject to OSHA, but secular staff that are not, whether it's like a maintenance person or other folks that are not directly ministering. I would argue everybody's ministering in some ways, even the janitor, but that's another story. That's important. But I mean, you got things like lighting and access control systems and video surveillance and alarm systems and a topic we almost never talk about, cybersecurity, even for that matter. Everything's in the computer. Everything's in the cloud nowadays. I mean, you can, cyber attack could take down the church, okay, and delay online services or cancel them, or worse, put up a message that is completely hateful and attacking of God and his principles. So much there that we could go further on this topic. But if you do have questions out there related to being good stewards of your facility, helping keep a safe facility, setting up the responsibility and duty you have as a team to be those stewards, be sure to reach out to us. You can connect with us on our website at churchsafetyguys.com. We're certainly happy to chat with you. James and I are always speaking with folks. I know Jared as well. It's a regular thing. We jump on phone calls with churches all over the country, and we're certainly happy to help. So let us know.
Absolutely. So next week, I think we are actually probably going to do a best of episode. I think we're going to take the evening off because I need to pack for Texas. And I know Mike's got stuff he's got going on. But we will definitely be back live with you after the conference. And the next couple of weeks, we'll have some some great episodes running that, or favorite episodes that we've had folks re-request and that really enjoy. So definitely enjoy that. And hope for those of you listening that are in the Texas area or traveling to Texas, definitely hope that we get to see you down there and have a great weekend of fellowship and, yeah, and learning together. But again, if you are interested in tickets for that, you can go visit churchsafetyconference.com. There are tickets still available. And as always, you can reach out to us through our website, like Mike said, at churchsafetyguys.com. So until
please
next
do
time,
say please do say hello too. I mean, if you if you make it to the conference, I mean, we're we don't take ourselves so seriously. Like we don't have a green room and we don't have all these demands as speakers and things like that. like I think some may do. Honestly, come up. Like we are there. We try to actually schedule our conferences with breaks and different things so we can have a chance to meet as many of you as we can, and really have quick conversations. And of course, what we do at all of our events is we make sure that there's a panel. This one's a special one with, it'll all be seasoned church security leaders. So not just, trainers or consultants, these will all be, church security leaders of teams. And so it'll be a really great panel to wrap up our 2 days of conference here in Austin, Texas.
For sure. So until next time, take care. God bless. Have a great week.
Good night, guys. Thanks.
Thank you for joining the Church Safety Guys broadcast, brought to you by Vigilant Impact. We hope that you found it informative and we appreciate your feedback and interaction. Be sure to share our broadcast with your teams, join the discussion online, and connect with us on social media or at our website at churchsafetyguys.com. For other great ministry resources, download the Church Security app. Remember, keep a servant's heart, a mindset of ministry, and semper disciplina. Always be training. Have a blessed week.